So hi everyone, my name is Diana Baker, if you don't know me. I am a newborn photographer here in Edinburgh. I have started this podcast so mums can listen to each other's experiences, draw, you know, strength from each other, and really like help each other prepare for what's coming. You know, if you're a first-time mum, if you're a new to the whole sort of mum area in the world, the whole world of it, and the motherhood, then this is going to be a really great resource for you. And today joining me is Eilish. Now, am I putting out? I'm terrible with names.
No, that's right.
That right?
You got it right.
Woo! You know I went on to Google and was like, how do I pronounce
it? I just think, I wonder how you're going to pronounce it.
I'm from nowhere New Zealand, man, and we did not have much variety in names.
I've just got to get something from my door, one sec.
You're right. So,
postman.
Oh, good.
Thank you. Ooh. Who knows what that is?
I love the posties at the moment. My DPD guys have been like well above and beyond.
It's how at the window they go.
Right. It's like they all know you've got a baby, so they're all like,
yeah, I'm not coming out. Okay, we're back.
Oh, bless. All right, so Eilish is joining me with her baby boy who was born on the 30th of March. What's his name? Have you decided yet?
Elijah.
Oh, I love Eliza. That's a beautiful name. Oh, gorgeous. Well, congratulations. Now, if my Facebook stalking of you is correct, he was born via C-section, wasn't he?
Yes, not planned.
Well, no. That sort of starts us into my first question. Tell me, you were pregnant when this was all starting to make headlines. So
yes.
Tell me, what was going through your mind at that point? What were you feeling and what sort of questions did you have about that?
To be honest, at first, because I've always had, I had my birth plan in place and what I sort of wanted. A big thing for me was wanting my mum to come up, who lives down south, and I'm obviously in Preston. So when it kind of started, I think, to be honest, I kind of buried my head in the sand a bit and didn't think it was really going to make much of a difference. And it was only then a friend who was due in 3 weeks was saying, oh, you know, I wonder how it's going to affect the hospitals. Birthing partners, she'd went to a course and people were saying that you couldn't do home births and things were changing, that I then started to think, this could affect me, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think more than anything, I just buried my head in the sand. It was only about 2 weeks before that things really started changing. And then you could only have one birthing partner. Visiting was stopped. Nurses started to wear PPE. You couldn't have partners go into hospital with you for certain things. So that's when it kind of started to hit.
It was. I remember it being like, are our husbands and our partners even allowed anywhere in the birthing process?
I had quite a few meltdowns. I can remember when we first found out that there was a possibility of only one birthing partner, I thought it was just before my due date, the day before, that they stopped them. And I thought, why couldn't have I just had him now? Because then it was a couple of days later and I thought I just missed out on then having my mum there, because then obviously there was no opportunity for it. But
I know some of our men folk, we know that they're going to be the ones that faint. And you're like, I just want my mum there. Just to hold it all together.
Do you know what, though? One thing, and I said this to my partner last night, I was watching the BBC documentary last night and watching all the dads stood in the corner like... My boyfriend, he struggled, but he was absolutely incredible. Considering he was the only one that could be there, he pulled it out of the bag and got me through.
Yeah, he knew he had to, you know, just be like, right, we're going to do this. Oh, well, so all those feelings going through your head, like I think you're like most of us where we're like a bit like, oh, it's not going to affect me. It's not, you know, and then all of a sudden when Boris said, right, shut your doors, shut your stores, all that sort of stuff. That was when I was like, well, I think this is serious now.
Yeah.
You know, this is like, oh my God. So tell me about, while you were pregnant and going through all of that, what did you find the most helpful or supportive or resource that you can share with our mums? Was there anything in particular that you were like, oh, well, that helped my mental health?
I think because for me it happened quite late on.
Yeah.
So even like when they said about pregnant women staying in, I was quite close to obviously having him. But I spoke to anyone that was pregnant, even at my mum, I was constantly talking
yep.
about how I felt because it changed on a daily basis. Oh, it could yeah. change hour on hour.
Yeah.
And
hormones.
You just,
you think, I tell you, hormones.
They are scary. You think you've got a plan in place and even in your head you say, that plan might change. But so for me, I sort of had, I wanted quite a natural birth and to yeah. do it as much as I could, you know.
Yeah.
And then suddenly it was... well, you're only going to have one person. And I'd always said, oh, it might change. I might not be able to do things as I want. I might have to have an epidural. I might have to have a C-section. Fine.
Yeah.
But then there were
yeah.
these outside factors.
Yeah.
I could be on my own. I, you know, like, I might not see anyone after. How am I going to get to hospital safely?
Yeah.
All these things that were completely out of my control and
yeah.
kept changing.
Yeah.
So I think just keep up to date. And to be honest, kind of accepting that you can't change it.
Yeah.
Once I had accepted, because obviously I've said for me, my mum being there was a massive thing. I lost my dad last year and his due date was the day we lost him last year.
Oh,
so it was, yeah, it was really important for me to have my yeah. mum there.
Yeah.
But once I had accepted that if she could be here, she would, but it was out of our control.
Yeah. And just letting it go.
Once I'd accepted that all these things that were happening, they can't be changed. It's a pandemic.
Who has ever been in a pandemic?
To have a baby when the whole world is in meltdown.
Because you can plan these things, can't you? I think you touched on a really, really important point, and one that I don't think us women give, place enough importance on or realise just how important it is. When you have a child, when you're going through pregnancy, when you had your baby, it is so important to talk. Talk until your lips mm-hmm. fall off. You know, it's like the hormones change things, change your emotions like every second, every day. And it's like, you know, if you're just left to dwell on it on your own, you can dwell yourself into a
So, well, that's one thing we ended up. When he was 2 days old, we got admitted on the Wednesday lunchtime.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday, 6 a.m., we were admitted to paediatrics.
Oh, wow.
And we had a 5-day stay. So that obviously after quite a traumatic birth, a C-section, coming home and being alone just with my partner, and then ended up being admitted and I couldn't leave the ward.
Yeah.
My mental health dropped. I was ready for I just didn't want him anymore. As horrible as it sounds, my head was gone.
So
my boyfriend, I couldn't talk about how I was feeling. He bought me a book, and each night I'd run away and I'd hide in the bedroom and I'd cry for an hour or so, and I'd write down in this book how I was feeling. And I'd write silly things like, he doesn't love me, he just cries with me, like he doesn't want me here. And my boyfriend would read this and he'd then sit and he'd be like, why are you saying those things? Like, and actually not having to say them out loud because they sound ridiculous.
Yeah.
Why does my baby not love me? He's a week old. But him knowing that that was how I felt changed how he supported me.
Yeah. I think you've done an amazing job. And I think it's really important for us women to talk about these sorts of things. And, okay, sometimes we just want to walk away from it. You know, we're only human. And, you know, the more we are... more we understand that that doesn't make you a bad person. That just says, I need help, you know, and the more we talk about it and talk to our friends and family and our mum and all that sort of stuff, our partners in particular, you know, the
it's because normally at this stage, when you struggle, your mum comes around and does the washing up or they do that. And suddenly you're on your own.
Exactly. And
seriously, you can't just go out. That's right, just go for a drive.
That takes me to the next point. You obviously had a birth plan there.
Yeah.
And it all didn't quite work out. So tell me about your birth plan and sort of give me a bit of advice. Say I was a first-time mum. Give me a bit of advice about birth plan versus reality.
Okay, I'll do this. I don't want to scare people. So mine, when I think back to it, was horrific. But I wouldn't change one bit of it.
Yeah.
So up at Preston Hospital, they have got an absolutely incredible birthing centre.
Yep.
Where you have the birthing pools, you have a nice like little bed. It's all very natural. Ooh. And that was my plan. I walked in and it was like being in a spa. I thought, this is what I want. If I can, I want to be in the birthing centre and I want to do as much of it as I can by myself.
Yeah.
The reality was very different. So on the Saturday, I was 40 weeks and 3 days. Mm-hmm. On the Saturday, my water suddenly broke. So I went up to hospital.
What the heck is this?
Yeah, I thought, oh, I've wet myself at first. No, it's your waters. To which shocked my boyfriend a bit. So we went up to the hospital and got checked out. And then they sent me home. Well, they said I could be induced then, but there were seven people ahead of me. So I'd probably end up waiting 24 hours anyway. So
yeah.
We came home to see if anything progressed. We'd done everything we could overnight, bouncing on the ball. We went on walks, everything we could to try and get it going. And at 3 o'clock, I had to go back in to be induced. In my head, I thought, they might look at me and they could send me home again. In no way whatsoever, and this is really naive of me, did I think they were going to induce me there and then.
Yeah.
So my boyfriend got to the hospital. I'm like, why am I cry? And I had to go up on my own. And yeah, sorry, I've not like spoken about it really.
No, I know. I can understand.
So we got to the front of the maternity building and he had to wait. He had to stay in the reception, couldn't come any further with me. So I got taken up to where they induce you. And I thought, oh, they'll check him, see how he's going. So I was sat on the ward and there was this other lovely lady in the corner. And I got onto the ward and I just cried. Absolutely cried.
Because
I didn't know what was happening.
Yeah.
And my boyfriend, he just sat outside until he knew what was going on. Then they then came and said, we're going to put the gel in. And I was like, I can't. I need to see my boyfriend. I need to know what's going on. When can he come back? Because I didn't know anything that was going to go on. So they let me go.
It's sometimes harder, isn't it?
Yeah. So I had a cry and this woman was lovely and spoke to me and sort of calmed me down a bit. So I went back and saw my boyfriend and he was told, you have to go home. You can't stay, which he was not happy about.
No, I can't imagine any man taking that lightly.
So they induced me with the gel at 6 o'clock and said, because my water had already broke, they were going to give me 6 hours and see if anything happened. In that 6 hours, I was basically sat on the ward on my own because there was no one else there. So I sat on FaceTime to my mum and other people, and looking back, when I look at other women who were in that, yeah, I know, I just think that would have been so much easier with someone else.
Yeah.
But I done it by my, like, you're it was hard at the time.
You're a strong
yeah,
woman.
But I can do this. Like, I was having a baby.
Yeah.
And so at 12 o'clock, I was transferred over to the delivery suite, and that's when my partner could obviously join me. I then had my waters broken at another side, I don't know, the other side of it.
Yeah.
Got hiccups. And then
so cute.
Yeah, they put me on the drip. So I assumed from here, I've already been induced, we're going to start moving. So obviously this was 12 o'clock, come 6 o'clock, we still weren't much further.
No.
Come lunchtime, we still weren't much further. Come about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I didn't know this, but we were back to back. So the pain I was having in my back was excruciating. Bearing in mind, I was on the drip as well, so it was... And I'd said, I don't want an epidural because I'd rather feel the pain and know when to push. As stupid as it sounds, I don't want to not feel my legs.
You are an amazing woman. Oh, my God.
So we're now, how many hours in? I don't know, 12 plus hours in, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I was shot. I hadn't slept. I hadn't eaten. I'd been having contractions since midnight. It's now 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I just looked at my boyfriend and I went, I need an epidural. And he went, no, you don't want one. And I was like... Without swearing.
Go and pay whoever you
need an epidural.
Give me the amount of money.
Yeah, I can't feel this anymore. And so the woman came in to give it to me. And as she's explaining things, obviously to give me the epidural, and I need to be awake to consent to it all, I'm like this, going in and out of consciousness because I am just, I'm shot.
You're,
I can't stay awake anymore.
No blood sugars there, nothing. You've been exhausted.
Nothing.
You've
I've not slept since
friend pain.
The Saturday. We're now on like... Monday afternoon, I've not slept, but eaten. Nothing.
At that point, Jesus.
So they're sat there shaking me like this, like, keep listening. And I'm like staring at her, not taking any of it in. All I can remember then is waking up. It was apparently about 40 minutes after the epidural had went in. And I felt like a new woman. I felt high as a kite. I felt incredible after this epidural. I couldn't feel my legs, couldn't feel anything. And they were like, oh, you know, we'll give you a couple of hours and then we're going to see if we can start pushing. So I was getting a bit more dilated at this point. So 9 o'clock comes, we're going to start pushing. I thought, here we go, the baby's coming in my voice, and we're both really prepped. She was like, we're going to tell you when to push. And I thought, yeah, right, we've got 2 hours to push. Let's get this baby out. Not happening.
Back to back.
An hour and 20 minutes in, the doctor's come in. We're not getting anywhere. We're going to have a look at forceps or a C-section. I'm thinking, I have just pushed for an hour and a half for you to not want to take me to theatre.
And they come in and they go, woo, 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 and you're like,
and I can actually remember in the middle of the day that, because they were saying about his heartbeat, that's why I couldn't have, I went on gas on air until three in the afternoon because I couldn't have other things because his heartbeat kept dropping. So that's why I was then like straight in for the epidural. And I thought, you could have given me a C-section at 3 in the afternoon and saved me all this time. So yeah, then it came to 11 o'clock and they whisked me down to the theatre, couldn't do forceps. And before I know it, he sat there on my chest. I'm like this. I'm like, someone take him. I can't hold him. And all I can remember is I'm waking up the morning after.
Yeah.
So I didn't get, like my boyfriend says, it's sad because to me, I really wanted that hour of skin to skin. And it was my boyfriend took him out of the theatre. The midwife had to feed him for me because I couldn't. He held him for the hour and then he had to go an hour later and couldn't come back till the morning. I was transferred to the ward on my own. So it was all really, really hard to deal with straight after because none of it was how I wanted.
Yep. I know. But it's like babies, it's like we all as women are told, do a birth plan. And I feel like sometimes we need to realize, I've seen a couple of the comments coming up, we need to realize that baby has their own plan. You know, like, yep. Back to back, for any of you that who don't know, back to back is one of the most painful ways to
affect
birth. And so for you to be sitting in that ward by yourself going through that on your own, girl, my hat off to you with no epidural at that point, like, oh my God, that is absolutely amazing.
So when I say I don't want to scare people, but when I watch people birthing on telly and I'm like, and they're pushing, I'm like, you don't look, when I think back to the pain I was in, I could do that.
Yeah. And it's amazing. Us women have such an amazing ability to deal with pain like nobody else, I reckon. I think, like, you know, a little paper cut on the hand is like, pfft, whatever, you know. And so I am so, I know it's not appropriate, but proud of you. Like, you did that, girl. And you can be proud of your body and of yourself and how strong you are, because you did that. You did it. You brought that little man into the world, and you did it. You did it. And, like, I know what you're saying about that first hour. I had a C-section myself, and they gave me way too much drugs because they said, what do you weigh? And I went, they gave me a bit too much.
No, just give it to me all.
Yeah, just keep giving it. And so I was out to it for the first, like, couple of hours of my daughter being alive. And like you, my partner did the skin to skin and all that sort of stuff, the feeding and stuff. And while it wasn't perfect for you, while it wasn't exactly what you wanted, baby, and correct me, you know, tell me how you're feeling about this. The way I got through that mentally was my daughter wasn't alone. She was with her daddy. You know, they formed a beautiful bond that I think I was like, my baby.
Well, that's why I then struggled, because they had that closeness.
Yeah, yeah. And so thank you for sharing that with me. You know, it doesn't always go to plan. And like you said at the beginning of the talk, you know, it's a matter of breathing through it and just talking. And like sometimes once you know what's going to happen, just accepting it and rolling with the punches. Like,
the thing is, at the minute, even if we weren't in this pandemic, it wouldn't have changed my birth plan, because what he had chose was going to happen. His heartbeat dropping, decided the drugs I could have, the fact I couldn't deliver him meant I was, none of that none was of to do with the section. That is just what you have to go, anything could happen in birth. I wanted a water birth, but I was very aware if I wanted, and I got to that point that I wanted to have all the drugs or anything, I was going to have them, because there's no shame in that, because some people don't need them and others do. I could not have got through my birth without an I would have ended up passing out.
Like that, and that's the thing, I think giving yourself a break and saying, hey, it wasn't my plan, it was my baby's plan, and accepting that baby was going to do that
as long as they're safe. Yeah,
So
they just have to be delivered safe.
Thank you so much for sharing that with me, because sometimes it's nice to hear, yes, we have best intentions, but it's also important to prepare yourself mentally to roll with the punches and yeah. do what's right at the time. You know, so I'm blown away by your birth story. You're an absolute trooper, and I love you for it. So tell me about your time in the hospital. When was your partner? You said he was allowed once you were transferred into the maternity ward.
Yeah, so once baby was delivered, he was allowed to stay for an hour and a half, 2 hours after, and then he had to go. So he had to leave about 2 o'clock in the morning. Uh-huh. Now, when I first went in, obviously to be induced, there was no visiting at all, mm-hmm. which, again, when I got on the ward and I found that out, absolutely broke my heart.
Yeah.
But then by the time he had been delivered, the visiting had changed mm-hmm. from 10 to 8. So that absolutely changed my headspace. Yeah. Come 10 o'clock, I hadn't got out of bed to walk yet because my legs still weren't working when he turned up.
But he time to come back, don't they?
Yeah, it's a bit peculiar, sat there thinking I can't feel my legs. But so he could then spend the whole day with me. So I wasn't then, where they are trying to get you out as quick as they can, obviously, because I only got onto the ward yeah. in the middle of the night, that 12-hour discharge time for me would have been a silly time at night. So I stayed yeah. for the two nights, but he could spend all day with me.
Good.
Now, I know since then at the hospital I was at, it's now only, I think, 3 till 5.
Uh-huh.
But even then, like, when I had to accept that he couldn't visit mm-hmm. when I first went in, they're doing that as hard as it is to keep us safe.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want the person next to me's partner stood there if he could be ill. So it's seeing those swings and roundabouts.
There's so much to this pandemic that we don't know yet. Like, you know, mm-hmm. are we people who've had it who didn't maybe got just a cough? Are they like transferring it even though they're not sick anymore? You know, there's so much that we don't understand. So, like you say, the NHS, God bless them, are doing their best at trying to keep us all safe. So accepting that. And I want to pick up on the point of when you were doing it alone, the things that helped you cope was doing the FaceTime, all that sort of stuff. Any advice around take a phone charger? You know, always keep your phone.
Yeah, do take your charger. Do as well. So like for me, when I was obviously pushing, I FaceTime my mum on WhatsApp, had her sat there on the side, because that for me, I wanted her, obviously with her, where I'd lost my dad, I thought it was really important that she was there,
yeah,
bringing him into the world.
Yes.
So we had it prepped. The nurses knew that when it came to that time that I wanted my mum there, my boyfriend knew, so we had it all set up so she could see.
So communicating to everyone your needs and your wants.
And even then, the midwives are absolutely incredible. They don't want us there with only one birthing partner, or they don't want to have to send the dad home. Or
they don't want to.
This is the last thing.
No,
they want to do everything they can to support you.
Exactly. No, I think, and so the FaceTime was important. Communicating to people beforehand, before you go into birth, what you're mm-hmm. wanting them to do, what they need to do. So
also take loads and loads of pictures. My boyfriend, he's got a really funny picture of me when I'm first on the gas and air, and he goes, Lish, because that's what he calls me, and I turn to him and I'm sucking at him, and I'm like, absolutely. I'm high as a kite. Yeah. And I've got this big smile on my face, and I look back and I'm like, yeah, do you know what, like at the time it was really scary. Yeah. But looking through those pictures, it was a journey. Even when we were readmitted to hospital, and I it was like, it's his first week of life, like, and we're here and he's all drugged up and having tests. And I got so many beautiful pictures of him
yeah.
and of us together that actually, no, it wasn't what we wanted, but I can still remember it all.
And that's the thing, I think, for me as a photographer, I did a DIY course for all my mums, all my brand new mums. And having that as a little bit of a project, something to remember, helps you get mm-hmm. out of your own head a bit, and also capturing those beautiful memories, because it's the funny times in birth that you know, and all these sorts of all the craziness, and hormones will make your memory fade of the event. And it's like, even the first couple of months when you're so sleep deprived that your brain barely is functioning anyway, you know, you'll make tea with salt sort of crazy stuff, which I did several times. But it's important to capture those memories, because my daughter's 8 years old, and I look back at those photos of her as a newborn and I'm like, I can't actually remember that in my head. I've got a picture, and thank God I do. She had the most beautiful little round head. But it's like, That, I think, is a really good advice. It gives you something to focus and
it's
to
even
do
capturing
as well.
The life in lockdown, because in years to, so oh. Before he was born, when I was really, really struggling with the lockdown and the pandemic and what was going to happen, I wrote Elijah a letter, and I put silly things in, like, the government has just locked us down and no one can leave their house, and we don't know what's going to happen. The world is, like, basically going crazy. I don't know what's going to happen. What world I'm bringing you into? And I just thought that, along with pictures, and then the letter the government sent round, I've kept to put with this letter.
Yeah, that's very important.
When he's a father, he can go, these are pictures of me, like people did in the war,
yep.
or anything like that, that were born when there was something big going on.
Yep.
He's got that to keep, like, these pictures. This was me when I was
amazing.
Born in a pandemic.
And I think that's a really good thing. I did that as well, wrote letters to my daughter. I still do. You know, writing letters.
That's the moment.
Speaking to them as an adult, you know, that helps you project a positive future in your mind and that sort of thing. And talking to them about what you're going through and that sort of stuff at that time and what dreams you have for them in the future. I think that's a lovely thing, really important for your own personal mental health and for something beautiful for them in the future to do, to help you occupy yourself, especially if you're on the wards alone by yourself. You know, it's a good time to reflect.
Makes you realize it's out of your control. You put it on paper and this is how it is.
Your mummy, she's such a trooper. She's doing this. Well, tell me about any last advice, rounding this up, any last special hints, things that you took in your hospital bag, things that made a real big difference, the people on the ward that might have been, anything, any hints and tips that you're like, girls, if you're going into this, if you're having your baby today, tomorrow, next, before the lockdown finishes, give me your top five must-haves for going into hospital.
So main thing I think you need to do if you are about to go in is do not listen to the news. Do not watch that. Find out what is happening. If need be, call your... So I call triage every morning about 5-6 o'clock so I could get through then. Yep. And I ask what's happening with the visitors, what's happening with birthing partners. Find out what is happening in the maternity unit.
In the one that
so you know. Yep. Don't be looking at what everyone's saying on Facebook or for this hospital or this hospital. No. Don't look at that. No. Do not look at what is going on with the number of deaths, with this, with that. That is not going to help. The only thing you need to worry about is the baby.
Yep.
The midwives will get you through the rest. what did I have in my bag? I did take quite a bit of food. I did take chocolate, but obviously I couldn't have any of that. But after I did have him, when they'd bring round the hospital food,
I
just couldn't stomach it. So I did, that's where having the food in my bag for the next day made
muesli
a big difference.
Bars.
I didn't want to eat much, yeah, but...
Muesli bars are an absolute key, I think. They're long-lasting, long-burning energy.
Yeah, so it's just, then you can snack when you want instead of the food that you don't want to eat, and then it's not...
And bottles of water as well.
Juice, that's something I took. Juice, and I took a really good bottle to drink out of, because I didn't want a cup or anything. A good bottle to drink out of.
Yep.
What else did I take? I took clothes and things to wear, but I ended up just stripping off and being naked.
Oh, I don't care.
I don't care anymore.
And for baby,
no,
what
I think
that really worked for baby once he got here?
In the hospital, I had, you know, one thing I did have, I've got a little zippy up
swaddle.
What are they, like? Yeah, a zippy up swaddle saves my life, because in the middle of the night when he is absolutely screaming, I remember the second night in hospital, I was thinking, I'm doing really well at this being a mum, like, I'm getting it. 10 o'clock came and I'm on a ward with 4 other women who are all quiet and sleeping. And suddenly we have
screaming
and it's getting like 4 hours in, and I'm thinking, I think I've fed you, like, I've changed you, I'm doing everything and you're still screaming. Then I put him in this swaddle thing and it made a massive, massive difference. I honestly do think main thing is getting your head in, just in gear. You think, so I already... A month ago, I was ready. It's 3 weeks now. Even 8 weeks ago, I had my head set for birth. I was focused. And then all this happened and it knocked me off. The pandemic has got nothing to do with how you are going to deliver this baby, because once you're on that ward, nothing else matters.
Yeah, exactly. And I love that you said swaddle. I'm a big advocate of the swaddle. I am a Dr. Karp teacher sort of thing, so swaddling is a really, really important way to calm a crying, upset baby. Mm-hmm. So love you for saying that. You know, nothing better
than the same for me, because I don't know how to swaddle. The fact that it's one that I can zip him into, even when he's screaming or kicking around, I can get him into it, and it doesn't have to stress me out and be like, oh, you know.
You don't have to do any complicated. Just do the Who cares? Done. Easy.
Exactly.
Well, brilliant. Now, because we're all absolute fans in, you know, of the NHS, they're absolute lifesavers at the moment, total heroes. Give me a shout out. Anyone who you remember their name who played an absolute amazing role or give me a shout out for the girls who helped you through it.
Everyone at Sharrow Green in Preston was absolutely incredible. Before, after, during, I've been back in now, I've had infections and all sorts. Every time I've went in, they have been absolutely incredible.
Under their wing.
They understand what's going on. They understand, even when I was struggling, my midwives have come out extra to my house. They've kept me on for the full 28 days. Oh, that is someone who I'm going to shout out to, actually.
Oh, go on.
Jess. She came to see us when we were admitted on the ward for his infection, and I was struggling with breastfeeding, my mental health, all sorts. Obviously, he was ill, and we came out, and I had a midwife come, the health visitor come, and they just weren't listening to me, to the point I was going to lock my door and not let anyone else in because I was sick of it. And Jess came out, she'd come and seen us on the wards, we were getting on, and she turned up at my door, and I thought, oh, I know her. And she got my breastfeeding sorted, she sorted my mental health, she sorted his weight out. She listened. And this is one main thing, is stick to your guns. At the minute, if you think a midwife, especially after, is telling you something and it's not working, stick to your guns. You know your baby.
Yes.
And when Jess listened to me going, I don't think obviously when he went into hospital, he was completely dehydrated, like no fluids, really poorly. Jess listened and she understood what we had been through.
Yes.
To get to this point and why I was worried about the feeding, his weight, and she just sorted it. She's kept me on for longer.
Jess is a midwife at what hospital was it? The Preston Field?
Preston, yeah, Sharrow Green.
Preston, Sharrow Green. Jess, we love you. These are the women who would do this for free if they could, you know, if they didn't have mortgages.
She's given me her private number. She said, if you're struggling and I'm not on, call me anytime, it doesn't matter. I'd be lost without her.
The midwives that we love, I want to support. Jess, if you're watching or if you see this in the future, we love you. It's those women who just want to scoop you up and say, I get it, I see you, I understand, let's help each other out, who are like the mother figures to you when you need that. You know, you need that. And she sounded like an absolute angel. So
she's amazing.
Big up to Jess, NHS, you guys are absolute superstars. So thank you very much. Thank you for coming on board today and talking to us about your experience. You're an amazing woman. You've done it so amazingly and stuck to your guns. And what a birth story, you know. And I think it's really important that, and I'm so thankful that you shared about the whole mental health aspect, because it's an important part of your birthing and parenting beginning experience, you know, to acknowledge those feelings, you know, to deal with those feelings and don't let them get the best of you, you know. Oh, so thank you so much. You're an absolute wonderful woman, you. So thank you to everybody watching as well. If you don't follow me. We're going to be putting this on all the major platforms so you all can subscribe. We are going to be doing several of these sorts of videos in the future with other mums who are just as amazing as this lovely woman here today. So go ahead and follow me, and we will get you lots of inspiring birth stories going on while this craziness of pandemic is going on. Thank you, everyone, for watching, and we'll see you soon. All right, my darling, you have a great
day. Bye. Thank you.
Love you so much.
Bye.
Bye.